Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Some texts from Scripture say it all. This is one of those texts. I don't know how many times I have not only read this text, but read it out loud in classes to students. This really tells the story of salvation. It takes away all of the extra stuff, all of the fluff, all of the kinds of things that we might add to it. It says, let's cut to the chase and talk about what the Christian faith is really all about. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we live in a world that's not exactly too worried anymore about peace with God. We live in a world where God is the word that you hear when someone hits their thumb with a hammer, when someone doesn't get the pop out of the machine, when someone gets cut off, and usually other words with it. To be at peace with God, well, I don't mean this seriously, but yet I do. Well, have you ever seen God? Can you prove that he exists? And so people who think that their brain is the sum total of everything, and the way in which you figure things out in this world, and that's the only place you're going to find anything out, and if your brain can't figure it out, it must not be there. They're going to say, you talk about God and you talk about faith. I look around, I don't see that. Sometimes even when people reflect for a long time on the majesty of this world, God is simply a word. But we who gather here by faith say, God is spirit. Those who worship him in spirit and in truth. The words that our Lord gives to the woman at the well hover around and say, not everything real is something that you can see. There are things that are going on that you cannot see. Let's take that simple word, love. If young people fall in love, you may see evidence of it in the way they look at each other and the things that they do. Hopefully we still see that when they're married for 60 years. But you can't really see that word, love. It describes a relationship, describes something that's going on. The word married is kind of like the same thing. Right, Will? We keep fighting about this. I try to keep looking at these things in confirmation. We've heard about and talked about that, haven't we? Oh, a lot. We sure have. Because not everything that's real can be seen. Because some of it is relational type of thing. The kind of stuff of what's going on, but you can't see it. Faith, hope, love, those words that Paul talks about, we can't really see what those things are. But somehow in the depth of our being, we recognize, if nothing else, we want to be healthy and we want to keep going. There is a drive in us to stay alive, one where we cannot understand why. I don't know how many times I've been in nursing homes when someone is near death, and you would wonder, how long is it going to go on? Just that drive within one to be alive, a little hint about what God built us to be, to live forever. And so when some people get well after they've been sick, people say, well, they had the will to live. I'm not quite sure that's the depth of it. I think it's deeper that God put in them and in us a desire to live. And yet, we look around in our world and we realize that death is around us. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. It does say that he has to do something to fix that which is broken. And so the drive inside of us, which we can't express or explain, the drive to stay alive and to stay healthy and to be in relationship with other people, that is something that's not going to be seen on the screen either. And there are a lot of other things, if we would think about it, that there is no way to prove or show that they're there. How do we get a peace about all of this? Well, we could get it by simply working hard and constructing our world in such a way that it would stay together. But we all know that there are leaky sieves in our lives. There are things that leave us that we don't want to leave us. There are things we can't hold on to. There are things we cannot control. There are things that are beyond our comprehension, even down to the not-so-simple level of, well, you can't control the weather. I can want that snow to melt away. It's going to melt away when finally it melts away, not because of what I want. And so many things where we find out how puny and small and little we are instead of in charge of everything. We can believe that there is a God, and we can believe that we are saved. We as Christians confess that that's possible for us, not because we've come to God or we've figured it all out, but because God has come to us. And that faith, like some of those other words, describes a relationship that God has gifted us with, that he has put into us, as the text here says. And so, we don't come here because we are absolutely 100% lock, stock, sure in our brains that we are saved, but because we are drawn by a God who says, I have done things for you that you will never see this side of the grave, that you will never prove, but that form the substance and the floor of your life. Since we have been justified by faith, means we're not justified by works, not justified by what we've done, that we have attracted God to us as if our life is an advertisement and, God, look at all I did. You ought to like me. You ought to pick me. Paul says very clearly that it's not about us. And so we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Those wonderful prepositions that connect us to God. It's not me here and God here, but he has come and taken hold of us, and that's why we're at peace with God, because what happened on that cross is given to us. Don't have to understand it, but our lives, when they're shaped by that grace, by that peace, mean that the world may not like us, but we need never fear that God is against us. In Romans 8, it will say, if God is for us, who can be against us? So therefore, since we've been justified, since we are right with God through faith, that which God gives us, we have peace with God already. That means whatever goes on out in this world of ours is not God trying to spank us or hurt us or give us trouble and shape us up. He comes into this broken world that's broken because of the sin of Adam and Eve, and he says, I'm going to lead you through this one on into life everlasting. You need not fear that somehow the brokenness with me is what you're experiencing in anything that you go through in your life. Through him, through our Lord, Jesus Christ, we also have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so you see that word faith, you see that word hope, we're going to see the word love in these passages as well. And so we live anticipating what's going to be, not what is right now. We say we expect that we are going to live in eternity, in the restored creation, in the presence of God, and thus our life right now is to live toward each other as we will live toward each other in all eternity. We're practicing up for heaven. It means anything that puts a wall between us and somebody else, it's gone. We may want to keep bringing it back in. We may want to find fault. We may want to distance ourselves from people. But God says, no, that's a foolish game to play because I've already taken what you've done against me and what they've done against me onto my cross, and I've punished myself for it. So don't try to get back at someone for what they've done to you. I'm not so foolish as to think that we all get along with everybody. We don't. But it is as much as in us lies that we are called to be at peace with all people. Others may not buy into it. Why, that's the suffering. The suffering that even though we come loving, others come hating. Others come distancing. Others come finding a way to build that wall. And finally, we're not going to knock it down. The Spirit can, but the Spirit can be resisted as well. But we have the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, the love of God already. He loves us dearly. That's why he died on the cross for us. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God that day when everything is going to be restored. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. No, we don't. No, we don't. Not really. Paul maybe would have better said, I get in trouble with the Holy Spirit for this. We can rejoice even in our sufferings. Paul says, at least when you suffer because you are a Christian, and someone doesn't like you because you claim Christ is Savior and people are forgiven and we go forth loving each other instead of hating each other, there are going to be people who are going to push us away. And so realize that you may get in trouble with someone because you just have done bad stuff. But you may get in trouble with someone because you come bringing the mercy of Christ and they don't want it. I don't want everybody saved. I want some of them lost forever. They're terrible, and they ought to get what's coming to them. And the cross says none of us get what's coming to us. Christ got what was coming to us. And that we might boast about the fact that we're pretty good people, but still, in the depth of our being, he came for us as well. And thus, it's the bridges and not walls kind of a thing that Paul's talking about. And so he says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because, underline this one and hang it on your fridge, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Never going to find a better sentence in the whole Bible. God's love has been poured into us, and as the confirmands will answer, and as the Sunday schoolers will answer, that's where it happens. In holy baptism, into the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, something happened to change us. Those Christians who believe that this is simply a little water splashing around have cheated themselves out of hearing. That's how God gifts us with that relationship and where he takes away all grief from him toward us. We're at peace. We're at peace, and even when the suffering comes, it's not from him to get us shaped up. It's from a world that doesn't like how cheap and easy it is. Well, cheap and free to us, not easy for our Lord, who walks the way finally to a cross to take our brokenness from God on himself. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Weak is to say nothing of the way this is going to end. Christ died for the ungodly. That's you. That's me. Ungodly. Not interested in anything about God. We know lots of people who are ungodly, who want nothing to do with God. He died for them. He died so they could be with him forever, so that they could gather to praise and worship him already here and now and for all eternity as a free gift. Am I going to Quick Trip to go get the free donut? No. I don't need either of the donuts. And it's a long way away. It would cost me more to drive to where it is from where I live. Am I going to get that free gift from God? No, I can't. He's already given it to me. From before I even knew about it, he's given it to us, and he says, now, settle down again and again. Whatever is going on in this world, I'm not leaving you, I'm not forsaking you, I'm with you always. And so, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. Now, Paul's talking in human terms of what's a good person? Well, we know what good people are. And so sometimes if someone is good, somebody else might go and die on their behalf. That happens in war when we're trying to protect people who can't protect themselves, who've done nothing physically wrong. But at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. One will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, first of all, while we were still weak, Paul says Christ died for the ungodly. Now, sinners, you see, that's why people don't want to talk about God. I'm not a sinner, I'm a good person. I'm better than a whole lot of other people. I do my best, I keep my nose clean, I do my taxes, I drive within the speed limit. I try to help people out when they need their lawns raked or their snow shoveled. And God says, and the word I comes all the way through. The mystery of me giving you life, and you grab it and take it as if you're in charge and you can do what you want with it. But I know that there's nothing in you that would claim that I'm your Lord and Savior, and thus you're lost and wandering no matter what you do to try to make your life work. Christ died for us. Since, therefore, and this is the other sentence, if you want to underline two sentences, this is the other one that just astounds me. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. The blood of Jesus Christ delivers us from the wrath of God. This is not just to deliver us from the devil. This is not just to deliver us from sin. Not just to deliver us from the powers of this world and the bad things here. To deliver us from those words of God to Adam and Eve, get out of here. And it takes Jesus dying on the cross to take hold of us and say, hey, Dad, they're with me. And the Spirit settles us down to say, that's really great. That's what I am. And thus, that we have peace with God when we were weak, when we were sinners. And now, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by our good works. Well, that's not the way it says it. Shall we be saved by his life? His life? Yeah, because on Easter morning, what happened? The grave was empty. Ours will be too. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. He just hands it to us and says, now we're at peace. Think of the people you don't get along with, and you don't believe you're ever going to get along with them. in eternity, if you and they are brought in by the grace of God, you'll be in desperate love with one another forever and ever. And he'll heal not only what's in their heart toward us, but our heart toward them. We are at peace with God. This is just a wonderful text. Put the whole thing up on your fridge. Underline a couple of those things. Read it every morning. It's a good way to start the day. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.